welcome to a Performer of the Week edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. My name is Luke Kerr. Joining me today, we have Mike Jubinville. Welcome.
Hello.
Jillian Bowe, who wasn't with us last week. Welcome back.
What up?
And Joshua Baldwin. Welcome.
Hello.
Dr. Joshua Baldwin, get in my chair.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, Performer of the Week. It was a short week for at least one soap, but I think there were still some good performances that could come out of all of them. So, Joshua, let's have you go first. Who is your Performer of the Week?
My Performer of the Week is Laura Wright from General Hospital. And it's not a lot of dialogue with her. It is the facial expressions that she gave all week long, listening to Ava and Nell and even Jason and Sonny and Bobby testifying. When Ava said that she found Carly standing over Nell's crumpled body at the bottom of the stairs, Laura Wright gave a look that said, "I'm about to show you," push down the stairs. It was that those just looks of being pissed off and just having to control that rage of having to say she was quote unquote crazy. It was just kind of a joy to watch her react all week long. So she is my Performer of the Week.
Jillian, who did you pick?
That's an interesting pick. Well, my pick was over at Fair Salem, and that is Victoria. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right, girl. Victoria Cornfowl, the young lady that plays Sierra Brady. Her having to sort of kind of relive, even though it wasn't under her, it was under that dreadful girl. We rebuke her and we bind thee, Jesus. Oh, God. But Sierra, I should say, had to relive being raped by that other dreadful pod person. What was his name?
Chase. What was his name? Chase.
We see you forget the evil Lord. When she had to relive that, and because that was just a barrier for her not to be intimate with Tripp, and her just burdening herself to her Aunt Kayla, and she and Kayla having a moment where they talked about how they were both sexually assaulted, and Kayla letting her know that that shouldn't prevent her, you know, she should, you know, not let that prevent her from being intimate and loving someone again. I thought that was terrific. And then on a dime, sis turned her emotions on a dime when she saw her slut monkey cousin. Her aunt trying to hunch her man, said man that she's trying to be intimate with. And when she just lit into them and then finally told him why she could not be intimate with him. And even though she couldn't be intimate with him, she wanted to, and he just threw it all away to be with that stank bitch, Claire, which by the by, I mean, it's, they filmed 20 years in advance, but Claire gotta get her ass whooped. She need a good bitch fight. She need a fade, Ron. She need to get faded.
I'm not a big fan of the Claire character, but ironically, in this storyline this last week, after Sierra had left and Claire was basically telling Tripp to go after him, it was one of the few times that I actually liked that character. I thought I was just surprised. I'm like, wait, I'm enjoying Claire? What kind of alternative universe am I in? Or am I watching Mike's TV? Mike.
No.
Mike, who is your Performer of the Week?
Mike is on General Hospital. It has to be a duo because they really worked off of each other. But Fionnuala Hughes and Kimberly McCullough, because for Robin, having the parents of Robert and Anna, and having to had adjusting to the life that she had when one or both of her parents were missing or gone or whatever, working. And then she comes, Anna comes to visit and drops the bomb on her that she has a half brother, and I just thought that Kimberly's quiet reserve and huge disappointment in her mother came through.
Girl, she's acting how the fans are feeling. She is like, really?
Yeah.
I know, I saw that. I just thought,
you know, and I give props to Finola Hughes because those two have been working together for decades, and that all came through in that scene. And I think when Robin was questioning every time, you know, she would hold one of Robin's kids, was she thinking about Heinrich? And she admitted that she was. And then that questions everything that Anna had felt toward her or her children was tainted now because of this. I just thought Kimberly McCullough did such a good job, because sometimes being mad at somebody you can deal with, but disappointment is, if you're disappointed in somebody, yeah, it's a lot harsher. And I think she did such a good job in just making Anna feel like a pile of crap.
You know, I get what you mean.
She looked at her. I love that she looked at her and she said, I love you, but I cannot deal with this. I have to process it. Goodbye. And that was the last talk.
I dig that, because anger dissipates. Disappointment, child. Mm-mm. That's like, yes, because that just makes me think about growing up. You know, my mom would be like, I'm mad at you. But then like a few hours later, she'd be cool. But when I got older, when I would do some crazy shit, she would be like, I'm just very disappointed in you. That would just make me feel.
It's like a gut punch.
Yes. And yes, Robin is very disappointed. I think she's conveying what the fans are saying, because in a way, GH has like fucked up and. Well, not
they,
in a way. I corrected myself. They fucked up, and it does make things tainted now.
Everything is.
Everything is so tainted. I just, you know, we can't neither here nor there, unless Nathan Bonney can say, look, y'all need to shoot this shit again or something.
They have to undo it. They have to.
Yes, they do.
And I will give credit to General Hospital for actually having Anna and Robin in a scene together when she's not really on the show all the time. I think that was necessary.
And they better. That would be stupid if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go back on that merry-go-round. They got to fix it. They, you know, they seem like, Shelly seem like she is just like,
she doesn't give a shit. Y'all.
She just seems like she just wants to be like, I'm going to make you. No, girl, you're not going to make me do nothing.
No. I hate this story with a living passion. It is. And I put on Twitter this last week, and I really don't see any other worthy contender. But
it's the worst.
When it comes to the year end podcast, this will be the worst storyline of 2018.
We're in the seventh month of
Are
you in like? I didn't see what you said, but when this storyline popped off, I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't see what you tweeted out. I'm gonna swear on everything I love. Y'all know I don't fuck around with that. When this storyline popped off, I was like, this has got to be the most. I'm like, this is going to be the worst storyline ever. I'm like, I don't care what BNB does, because you know they change on a dime too, and they had some turkeys going down. But I'm like, this, no. I'm like, no.
The systematic character assassination of Anna, what's happening with the whole thing. Because Finola Hughes and Kimberly McCullough were also my performers of the week, because I hate this storyline so much, but to watch those two actresses play off of their character's history and try to salvage and provide meaningful moments to what is literally the shittiest storyline of 2018.
Zimmer gave them a call and told them, turn this shit into sugar.
And that's what I said. That's what I said last week. I mean, this is literally the shit to sugar award, because these two actresses, I mean, Finola is acting opposite, with the exception of occasional appearances by Kimberly McCullough and Tristan Rogers, an entire cast of characters who either are brand new or who she rarely has worked with in the past, like Jason. There is no meaningful impact for her interactions with Valentine, with Heinrich, with Jason. Spinelli even occasionally pops up in that whole orbit. And then they're trying to tell us that she has basically had this kid with Faison, and the reactions that I'm getting on Twitter are like, they're basically saying that Anna raped Faison. And I'm like, I'm not going to go there, but this is literally the worst thing that could possibly be done to the character of Anna.
It is true. I mean, it is true when you think about it, because if this was a woman, if this was Faison who slept with Anna while she was drunk, we wouldn't be having a debate on if it was like rape. I mean, this is rape.
I'm not debating it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And especially in this Me Too movement, I'm like, shame on you. And it's Shelly, you a fucking female. Oh, don't make me see. Y'all don't got me mad, child.
Well, the thing is, I
can't go to brunch tight, child. No.
Going
back to the happy place.
I was watching this last week, and Kimberly and Finola were bringing it, but at the same time, while they, like, Mike, I completely agree with you with the, like, I still love you moment. That was really powerful. But from a standpoint of a lot of the rest of the dialogue that we had for Robin, I felt like some of it was out of character. Robin has always been the person who's been the most understanding of anyone on the canvas on that show. And she's also been someone who has lived through Faison's many, many torments and incarnations in that city. She's seen what he has done, not only to her family, but to other people. So when she's now getting this explanation from her mom that this happened way back in her mom's past, I felt like, based on the immense amount of Faison history, that she wasn't as empathetic as I expected her to be, and that she made it a little bit more about herself as her mom. Well, that's
the
just
church. Yes, the church got to take you to task.
I just felt like it was a little bit out of character for Robin, but I still think that the performances were really good.
But that's not out of character for Robin. That is Robin.
Robin was raised by somebody. What was her name? That old woman.
Philomena.
Philomena, and Anna and Robert were not a part of young Robin's life. So when her mother,
let's back that up. Robert wasn't a part of her life. Anna was in her life, but Anna was a whatchamacallit. She was a nanny to her.
Right.
Oh, when she was young. Yeah.
I remember that now. See, it's so long ago. If I'd known that you were going to bring this up, I'd have done a little research. Just but here's the thing with Robin. When you're an adult, whether you're an adult or a child, when your parent does something that takes away that shaky trust that you have spent years building, you're allowed to have that disappointment, and you're allowed to tell your parent that you don't agree with what they did. Because now it takes her back, I think, it takes her back years to when she had to build this relationship with her mother. And she just doesn't understand why her mother never said anything all these years. So I have no trouble with Robin's reaction.
Her entire life is a lie. Yeah. If this is true, then Robin's entire life is a lie. Because Robin's been led to believe that Faison was obsessed with them and was actively trying to destroy their entire lives and didn't really understand the background for it. If this is the motivation for it, if this is true, then Robin's entire life and understanding of Faison and everything is a complete lie.
And
I'm surprised she didn't tear the house down.
And maybe that's the reason why I don't feel like it rings, is because the if it's true part, I still refuse to accept that it is true. So like maybe I'm looking at it through that lens, because I just don't accept that this storyline is true. And on that premise, it doesn't feel right for me to have Robin saying this stuff.
No, I don't know. This isn't Robin's wheelhouse. We saw how she acted with Carly and Jason when Michael were around. We saw she acted with Carly again with Jax and Nicholas's kids. So this isn't her wheelhouse, and this is her mother. So I totally see Robin being like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And because Robin has been, since she was hatched from Anna's womb, her life has been one big lie. And what I wanted to clear up was Anna didn't act like her nanny. Anna acted like a family friend named Love. That's all she knew her as. So
That's right. I've totally forgotten that. Yeah. Wow.
And she was, see. Mm-hmm. See, she ain't that people ain't know, but we know.
But how many times, how many times has this writing regime, well, Shelley under two different co-head writers, how many times has Shelley and company basically said, oh, we expect General Hospital to forget? Look at the stuff that when Jean was still on there, and look at the stuff that's going now.
Wait, you heard what, I mean, Shelley did an interview maybe a year or so. No, well, maybe a year or two ago when she even said in an interview with someone, I don't know who it is, so my bad, y'all, whatever. She said something like, you know, I didn't know that there was so much history there. You know, if you look at the history books, she also admitted that she don't pay attention to history. And I'm like, hello, bitch, we know that you don't. Like, this is just, it's just, you just got me mad again. You got me all fucked up here now. And it's a Sunday, child. Lord, please. You got me tight, man. But this is in Robin's wheelhouse. Her entire life has been a lie. She thought Anna was a family friend they loved. She thought Philomena was her grandmother. Philomena was not. Then she found out, she had to find out through the ghetto grapevine that Robert was her father. And Anna and Robert kept that from her for a while when she met Robert. Well, as she knew him as Robbie. And she had to overhear it as a child. And that broke her heart. It's just lie after lie after lie. So you get fed up. It's totally in her wheelhouse. I will give them that. This is in her wheelhouse with that. This just needs to be fixed. Like,
it needs to be undone, and it has to be done fast.
Well, there is a way that they can undo it, but I don't.
The Alex suggestion that everybody else seems to say on Twitter. But the thing about that is if you watched All My Children and Alex on All My Children, I mean, yes, it can definitely be done with Alex. She can be the scapegoat on this, but still.
Look here. We talking about General Hospital. We ain't fucking with AMC.
Yeah.
I also said, you know, when Alex came on to GH, when she was the one that Valentine slept with and chased after, I was like, this is not Alex. This is not Alex. This is not her. But again, Jean created that character, so she could have done what she wanted. You know, they could have done what they wanted to do. It is what it is.
I can't see foresee anything from Bold and the Beautiful being cardboard to Mal Young like driving Y&R off the cliff. Short of those, I mean, that I can't see anything that's going to replace this as worse storyline.
Well, even if it turns out that they're doing the twin mappy thing with Alex and Anna and she's sharing memories, it's still going to be
if the plan was for them to do Alex, it would be one thing if they were giving the viewer a little bit of insight into that, and we would have had some scenes in which we might have seen a suspicious Alex looking Anna, and it might have like set up something. But if now they try and blame this all on Alex, which I mean, if they were going to do that would be great. But it would be nice if they would have laid some groundwork for it.
Hold up. Well, based on what I've seen from Shelley thinks that Shelley somehow has this thing for mysteries. You've noticed that with her. She has a thing for mysteries. It's so mysterious that even the viewers are like, bitch, what you doing? And let me rephrase before someone be like, I can't believe she calls her a bitch. I call everybody a bitch. I call my sister a bitch.
She calls my grandma a bitch.
Yes, so that's just how I do. I call everybody a heifer. Hell, I call Beyonce a heifer. We know that girl is built like a fucking brick house. So don't even try to park it in my mansions because I'll send you back. But I feel as though Shelley is a person that likes these mysteries. And it's so mysterious that I feel as though the actors and the viewers are left totally out of it. So I could see her being like, this is what we were planning on. From before, we wanted people to be surprised. And I'll be like, girl, yeah, right. Because I don't feel it's a mystery. I feel as though that's when you're trying to cover your own ass. I feel as though, you know, this could be an Alex thing. Or, like I said, like, it could be Alex, but it also could be a situation where Valentine, they, you know, I didn't know anybody was talking about the mapping thing. Maybe Anna was a test case.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a situation where Valentine... He said, you know what? She broke my heart, so I'm going to break her heart She broke my heart. I'm going to break her heart like she did me, but in a worse way. I'm going to have her think that she is tied forever, or as Cardi B would say, forever. She is tied to the man who has terrorized her since she was in diapers, and that's Faison. Make her think that she slept with Faison willingly, and she had a child with Faison. That would be perfect, and that could set up a whole, you know, if Frank would just get his head out of his ass, that could set up a whole who killed Valentine, because we already see that Nina is pissed off with him. We see that Obrecht is back in the game and she's pissed off with him. This could lead to like a ramification. This could be, you know, Obrecht could be a suspect. Nina could be a suspect. Lulu, Maxie, Heinrich Maneuver, Anna, Robert. This can lead down towards like, this can be a huge ramification for everyone if they did that. And that could clean up some of the shit that's going on. But I'm not convinced that they don't have
the interest or the time. It must be extremely exhausting to work this hard at writing this bad.
That's the Frank. Frank is just not in the game. Frank is not.
For me,
I
find it disappointing that General Hospital spends an inordinate amount of time rewriting people's past rather than making them go forward.
Instead of rewriting their past, use aspects from their past.
Right.
You're doing a whole retcon of someone's past. That's why I said, you know, Nathan Varney really needs to step in, because we see that Frank is not stepping in. And before someone say, well, it's Shelley. Shelley's boss's name is Frank. Frank gives the okay. Frank can say yay or Frank can say nay. We obviously
he said yay to Heinrich in a parking lot. Hold on.
We obviously see that he did a yay with Valentine, but a nay to what we always knew Valentine, what we heard Helena said he was going to be. He was the most ruthless Cassadine that even made her quiver and be like, shit, like Luke, I got to let you know, like, don't fuck with that cat. For Helena to say that to her mortal enemy. We see that Frank was like, nay, let's make him, you know, a heartthrob or something. So Frank is her boss. Frank can tell her yay or nay. Obviously, Frank ain't have a problem with this bullshit. This is where I think people need to, Nathan Varney needs to be like to step in, or someone from the network needs to step in and say, fix it, because look at the ratings with it. My God.
And I'm going to echo Luke from last week really fast, is that this isn't just worst storyline of the year. This is the bastardizing that All My Children did with Erica's on abortion. This is fucking with 20, 30 years of history with this character. So this isn't worst storyline of the year. This is altering the foundation of the show.
It could be definitely considered the worst storyline of the aughts, possibly.
Totally.
Honorable mentions, Josh.
Oh, that's a good question. Victoria Konofal, who I picked last week and definitely thought she did great work this week, along with Mary Beth Evans. Sharon Case. Sharon Case gave Sharon Newman a backbone this week and told it like it T.I. is to Victor and Mickey.
And then Mickey said, bitch, knuck if you buck, because you're going to go to jail if I do too. I'm like, how dare you, Sharon? How dare you?
I thought those scenes with Sharon and Nikki were great. And that's about it for me.
Jillian, honorable mentions?
My honorable mention will be Mary Beth Evans, because for her to lay her soul bare, like her character to lay her soul bare to her niece about something that she really does not want to. She does not try to go back to that place when Jack raped her, when she discussed spousal rape with this young lady. It was just amazing. And I feel as though they're just like trying, you know, they slipped a little Me Too in there and letting them know it's not okay for this to happen, but it is okay for you to love again, because again, you know, for some reason people feel as though if you've been assaulted and you try to, you know, move on with your life, you have some ignorant people out there, they'll be like, oh my god, you're a slut, you wanted it. But she let her know, like, this is not okay, and it's okay to move on with your life, and it's okay to like move, you know, at your pace. And Mary Beth just did the doggone thing.
Mike?
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna echo that. Mary Beth Evans, Victoria Konofal. My first, second pick, though, was Laura Wright for her facial expressions. You know, Carly was just sitting in that courtroom ready to explode.
Put a muzzle on it.
She just kept her her quiet reserve as best she could, and her eye rolling, and I just loved it. I just thought it was really funny. And actually, I was pretty happy with some of GH last week, so more so than others.
Shelly's sitting down saying, "See, he's happy."
Well, because those other storylines are on another show. Like the Anna stuff doesn't exist. It just doesn't.
We don't know her. I don't know her.
Don't know her.
I think I had Jen Lilly last week as my performer of the week, and I still like Jen Lilly is still bringing it in these storylines. And even though Days had a short week, I was enjoying her, so she was an honorable mention. I actually found this week, for me, I had a hard time other than Finola and Kimberly. Like, those were obvious to me. But other than that, I didn't have, like, stand out for a lot. But that was just me. We would encourage you to comment on this episode at DaytimeConfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Mike is at MPJ24. Josh is at DrJoshua09. And Jillian is at Jillian Bow. We thank you for listening. Until next time. So long.
So long.
Ciao, bella.